Welcome to Nobel Conversations. In this episode, Josh Angrist and Hito Imbens sit down with Isaiah Andrews to discuss the key ingredients in their Nobel-winning collaboration.
Josh and Hito, first, congratulations on the Nobel Prize.
Thank you.
So the work you did together, particularly the work on the local average treatment effect or LATE framework, was cited as one of the big reasons you won the prize. At the same time, you only overlapped at Harvard for a year, if I'm remembering correctly. And so it'd be great to hear a bit more about how you started this collaboration and sort of what made your working relationship productive. Are there ways in which you felt like you complemented each other? Sort of what got things started on such a productive trajectory?
Your job talk, as I recall, Hito, you know, it wasn't very interesting, but I think it was on choice-based sampling.
It was. I was a very marginal hire there because they didn't actually interview me on the regular job market, but I think they were very desperate to get someone else to actually teach their courses. So it was after they had a couple of seminars already and they were still looking at econometrics. So Gary called me and kind of...
Gary Chamberlain
called me and interviewed me over the telephone. He said, okay, well, why don't you come out and give a talk?
I remember the talk a little bit. I remember the dinner that you and Gary and I had. I remember not being very excited about your job market paper, but I saw that Gary was, and luckily Gary's view prevailed.
Yes.
Harvard made you an offer, and I think we started talking to each other pretty soon after you arrived in the fall of 1990, right?
Yeah, as I said, I came there, I didn't have a very clear agenda. I was a little intimidated getting there. But Gary kind of said, you should talk to Josh, you should go to the labor seminar, kind of see what these people do, because they're doing very interesting things there. I listened to Gary, like
we did
in those days and ever since.
I think it helped that we were neighbors. So we both lived in Harvard's junior faculty housing, partly because housing costs were very high in Cambridge relative to our salary, which was very low.
But I think it also kind of made a difference. Neither of us came from Cambridge, so there were a lot of MIT people who kind of already had their whole networks,
right.
of collaborators.
Well, I think we had figured out a kind of a mode of working together also. We had kind of a regular date, so we were neighbors, and we often did our laundry together. We didn't have laundry machines in our apartments.
Yeah.
But we used to do our laundry and we were talking and you had a way of very systematically, addressing questions that would come up in our discussions. And the one thing that I was very impressed by our early interaction is you would follow up, things down.
So looking back at those days, sort of clearly I just had a lot more time to actually think. I mean, I look at my junior comments.
You don't have
now.
Time to think now.
No, but it's kind of one thing, but I feel now a lot of my junior colleagues don't actually have a lot of time to think. People are just doing so many projects and it's actually so hard and there's so much pressure on people to publish. I remember spending a lot of time sitting in my office and thinking, well, what shall I do now? But it would give me a lot of time to actually think about these problems and trying to figure them out. And I could actually go to seminars and then the next day kind of have coffee or lunch with Josh or Gary and actually talk about those things.
So you guys weren't actually at Harvard together all that long, so you started working together pretty quickly. Were you both sort of in the mindset that you were looking for co-authors or looking for a particular types of co-authors at the time, or was it more sort of fortuitous than that?
I think we were lucky. I don't remember I was looking.
No, I think it was more fortuitous. I came in, I'd done my job market paper and another paper for my thesis, and I was just very happy to come to Harvard. And suddenly there were all these seminars to go to, and there kind of were lots of interesting people to talk to. But it wasn't a very conscious thing on my part.
Looking back, I think there was a kind of a moment for me where I was discussing instrumental variables, potential outcomes, treatment effects with Hito. And, we had a pretty good discussion. But then he also sent me some notes. And, the notes were very methodical, kind of write-up of our discussion and what you thought, we had been kind of concluding in a fairly formal way. And I thought, well, that's great. That's talk is cheap, right? But with somebody writes out the story.
For me, it really helps kind of writing things down.
Yeah.
And I do remember kind of working with Josh and kind of sitting in my office and writing things out. And you guys have all had the discussions with Gary where afterwards you need to then sit down and actually write things up to figure out exactly what was going on.
Yes.
We had, I think the other thing we had, Hito, is we had some very concrete questions that came from applications.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of econometrics, in my view, that we kind of were schooled in was about models. You know, here's a model. And what can you say about this model? And, you know, I think we were thinking about, here's a particular scenario. Draft eligibility is an instrument for whether you serve in the Army. You know, what do we learn from that?
That's right. And that's sort of where, you know, your influence on sort of the way I do research now is sort of still very clear.
I guess zooming out a little bit, just thinking about when you guys sort of started working on this, when you started working together, like any thoughts for folks who are just interested in like finding productive co-authors, being productive? I mean, Hito already mentioned the importance of having time, right? Which it is very easy not to have a lot of time to think. But
you definitely have to make time. That's a great question though, Isaiah. You know, I think, and I tell my students, you know, that you should pick your co-authors more as carefully, maybe more carefully than you pick your spouse. You want to find co-authors who, you know, you have some complementarity. That's what makes a strong relationship. You don't want to work with somebody who sees the world exactly like you, and you know. And as much as Hito and I agree about things, we often disagree about things to this day. And it's fruitful to have those discussions. And, you know, we had complementary skills. I was very empirical. I'm not really an abstract thinker. Hito was great at figuring out, you know, what the principles were.
Yeah, that's right. And sort of, I totally agree kind of with the first part of that. These are incredibly important relationships. And you see a lot of people working together and it not necessarily working very well.
Yeah.
And and then it's very hard often to get out of these
right.
relationships.
A good partnering is a beautiful thing, like a marriage. You know? It produces wonderful children.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
The fruits of the scholarship are potentially wonderful and they exceed the capacity of the partners to do it on their own. But a bad co-authorship can be very destructive and time-consuming and painful, just like a bad marriage. Arguments may start about who did what when and intellectual kind of property type issues, especially when it goes a little sour and somebody thinks the other party is not pulling their weight. So, you know, there's more co-authorship now in economics. I think that's been documented, much more.
Yes.
There's more teams and there's larger teams. And I think that's great. I love working on teams. We do work on schools with big teams. I work often with kind of PI teammates like Parag Pathak and David Otter and then a team of graduate students. But I see that the students are not always, you know, in some ways they're a little too promiscuous in my view in their partnering. They don't sort of think it through.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of difficult to think it through. As, you know, I think sort of for me, working with people always has involved kind of spending a lot of one-on-one time with people. Kind of you need to figure out how they think and how they sort of what kind of problems they're interested in, how they think about these problems, how they like to write, kind of to make that.
And it takes some maturity on everybody's part.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
In what sense? Just in the sense of knowing what's going to work for them, knowing when things are versus aren't working?
You know, maturity in the sense of having some judgment, to be able to face it honestly.
Yeah.
If it's not going well, sometimes you have to have some difficult discussions. Is it worth continuing? You know, I was hoping you would do this and you didn't. Maybe it turns out there's some, you know, feeling in the other direction the same way.
No, Josh is very good in the being honest part there, so from the beginning.
For so better, yeah, or worse.
I would write this stuff, and then, you know, I remember the first version of the paper with Ruben. So Josh was in Israel at the time, and so Don was in, Don and I were in Cambridge, and so I would talk to Don regularly. But Don wasn't really doing much writing in those days, so I would write things, and then I would fax them to Josh, and they would come back. First page, just one big cross, no. Second page, one big line, no. And so that would go on for a while. But he still does that. I sent him the first draft of my Nobel lecture, and Josh goes, no, no.
I've gotten some PDF comments like that from Josh, actually.
Yeah, very helpful.
Omit needless words.
So I have few co-authors who were willing to do that. It's, you know, especially as you get older, it's sort of harder to put up with that. I would find it harder now to start working with people who did that. You know, early on in a co-author relationship, it's also very hard because you need to have enough trust in people. And, you know, Josh, for being willing to kind of be very critical, he was also willing to admit being wrong.
You have to be kind of on the lookout for good partners, somebody who can help you answer questions that you can't answer yourself.
I think there's a natural tendency for people to gravitate to people who are similar in outlook and skills, and that's not as useful.
Joyce is right. It's sort of, nowadays, it's very tempting to find people who think about the same problems you're already thinking about, who think along the same lines, and that may not lead to very novel stuff. Yeah, and it, but. At the same time, kind of finding people who actually have very different ideas, it's going to take a lot of time.
So, you know, you mentioned in passing how sort of working with Josh has influenced how you do research. Could you say a little more about that? And also, I'd be interested to hear from Josh. Did working with Hito influence the way that you do research?
Nowadays, I'm kind of much more conscious of the fact that sort of, for me, good econometric research comes out of talking to people doing empirical work. Mm-hmm. And it's really not reading Econometrica or reading the stats journals, but it's actually talking to people doing empirical work, going to the empirical seminars. And so, you know, when I was at Berkeley, I had Dave Ricard and Raj Chetty as colleagues there, and so I would talk to them and listen to them, kind of trying to figure out how are they solving their problems, and are there kind of things there where I'm not really quite happy with the way they're doing things, and kind of trying to look for methodological problems that where there's sort of some more general solutions possible. You know, I tried to tell it to my students. I encourage them to kind of work as research assistants also for the people doing empirical work at Stanford. That was not something that I learned while I was in graduate school, but it really came out of working with Josh, as well as talking to Gary. Gary was always encouraging of doing that, and because he'd done that himself. Kind of, he'd worked on empirical problems with the Sri Krilichas early in his career.
Yeah. So, well, I became more interested in econometric theory through our interaction. You know, I think empiricists are often impatient with econometric theory, partly because empirical work is very time-consuming, and you know, you may have a sense that something is convincing and sensible, and you haven't really fully made the case for that, but you're convinced, and that motivates you to pursue it. You know, like the draft lottery story. I mean, you know, I was pretty sure that was worth doing, I came away, you know, from working with Hito, seeing that there was the potential to say something more than just about that particular problem. That there really, and I think over those early years in the 90s, you know, our thinking evolved together, that there's actually kind of a framework here, a way to solve a lot of problems. And I think that is the power of the late framework, is it answers a lot of questions.
in some sense, did you find that, you know, email versus fax versus in person, the medium mattered to sort of how collaboration went, or there sort of ways that you felt like it was the most useful to collaborate?
To me, I think what matters most is sort of the initially you have a period of...
We needed that initial period. Yeah. That was very intense, mm-hmm. with almost daily interaction. Mm-hmm. And we also became friends. You know, you don't develop the kind of friendship, you know, electronically usually. but once you have that foundation, you can, you know, you can be pen pals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we did use email, though it wasn't as useful then, but it worked. But we definitely had a lot of faxes. I still have these faxes, long faxes.
Yes.
And then in the summer, I would come to Cambridge, usually to the NBER meetings, and hang around for a few weeks. And you visited me in Israel.
I visited in Israel. Yeah. But yeah, I think it was kind of, there was good foundation from that year. And in some sense, that was enough. And nowadays, I have co-authors kind of in lots of different places, but it's always been important to spend some time with people in the same place. Yeah. So you understand how they work, how they think, even to the point that you know when they actually respond, whether they respond quickly or whether that means they're not actually doing anything, or whether that means that they're thinking hard about a problem and they just take longer. Mm-hmm. But you kind of do need to develop some understanding there. Mm-hmm.
So we've talked about how sort of your collaboration started. Maybe just to step back slightly, were there sort of features about the environment at Harvard or in Cambridge at the time which you felt like contributed to it?
So coming from Brown, I felt it was a very intimidating place because it clearly was a very, very impressive set of people. But, so there were, Zvi Grunitz was there, Dale Jorgensen, MIT.
Gary Hausman, Whitney Newey. Sometimes Jamie Roberts. I mean, my view of that in retrospect, I can't say I loved every minute of every talk I ever gave in that workshop, but that was the highest powered. That was the group you wanted to reach.
Yeah.
And you would get extraordinarily insightful feedback, even if it wasn't always easy to swallow.
Yeah, and for a while, I would basically give a talk there every semester because we didn't have any money to actually invite people. So Gary would say, well, why don't you give a talk?
People with our interests.
Yeah, it was really very impressive, but it was quite tough because
it was intimidating.
The people there had very strong views on what they thought was the way you should do econometrics, the way the direction things should go. And I think it was, now I would think things were getting a little stale, that in fact, we were bringing in a lot of the new ideas.
Yeah.
And that wasn't necessarily immediately appreciated.
But that's okay.
We were
pushed.
Yes,
and
they pushed
there's
us
a lot,
hard.
A lot of great discussions in that workshop about this sort of, you know, what should we make of late? But there were other questions that were just as interesting, like the role of the propensity score. That was a big deal in the 90s. And, you know, econometrics was sort of moving towards that. And there were a lot of great questions.
Yeah. I learned a huge amount there from the time I spent.
But I think the other thing that Hito and I both benefited from is we both, not at the same time, but early in our careers taught econometrics with Gary Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. And that was like an apprenticeship for us, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I taught a mixed graduate undergrad, 1126, I don't know if they still have that number.
Mm-hmm. They do.
very interesting course that it had both graduate and undergraduate enrollment. And it was relatively applied for an econometrics class. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot by teaching that with Gary.
But in that sense, Harvard was a great place. They were very flexible.
The other thing I remember about Harvard is, I had very good students, I taught a lot of wonderful students who went on to have wonderful careers. Also, Harvard kind of is an institution. You probably are aware of this, Isaiah, as a junior faculty member. You know, they didn't ask much of us other than teaching our classes. We didn't have administrative concerns to speak of. I think I went to 2 faculty meetings in my 2 years at Harvard. And so we're kind of left, you know. Yeah,
you're giving a lot of freedom and flexibility.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I went to the chair, I said, you know, can I teach this course with Ruben? And I think it was Friedman at the time, and he was like, fine. And it wasn't really any concern about what it was about. And again, that was a very intimidating experience, but it was a great experience.
If you'd like to watch more Nobel Conversations, click here. Or if you'd like to learn more about econometrics, check out Josh's Mastering Econometrics series. If you'd like to learn more about Hedo, Josh, and Isaiah, check out the links in the description.